in time of chaos, in time of violence, in time of difficulties. Often it is difficult to find light, to understand what's happening. Sometimes the situation seems to be so complex or so chaotic that one may wonder where to find proper indication, proper wisdom to be able to understand what's happening. We may feel within ourselves, sometimes trying to keep very peaceful attitude of mind without any violence, and sometimes we get tired, wondering that, is it really influencing anything? Is it really working? I try to keep in my mind some peaceful attitude of mind, and still there is a chaos and violence outside. And sometimes one may feel within ourselves also arising some hatred or violence. And one knows that it is not the way. Violence, hatred is exactly the fire which brings more chaos. And one knows, obviously, that is not the way. So not knowing really what to follow, how to understand such a complex situation. I was in New York, actually, and I came back 3 days ago to Geneva, Switzerland, and I met many people in New York. Also so many different type of attitudes. Some peaceful, some less peaceful. But what struck me, it seemed that we could feel the influence of each one. We could see that which kind of reading some people were doing, which kind of, I don't know, political party they were following, what they were, all the influence, what was conditioning the way of speaking. So either side, either people being more upset and expressing with more violence, we could see what was influencing them. We see people more peaceful. We could also see what is influencing them. Some people, we speak about karma, that those Buddhist people trying to find meaning using karma. Well, it does help, but does not help all the way, because when one says karma, one still has to understand what karma means in this case. And some people seems very peaceful. But when I speak with them, it seems that they did not watch TV, they did not read news, so they kept away. So not much problem, because they were not really in touch with what was happening. Doesn't seem that avoidance is also a very wise way. So one may wonder in difficult time how to really find a proper indication. It seems that all different indications are always different conditioning. I could see within myself reading different newspaper, smart people, so I will start to feel this way, and then I read something else which seems also very intelligent and bright, then I start to feel slightly differently. I could see how I was influenced by all the smart people I was reading, and even certainly some less smart that still did influence me. So we may wonder how to find guidance in difficult time. Of course, not only in the States, but also in any country. And here, one try to find proper guidance. Not a guidance which will be so much conditioned by point of view of other, but a very deep inner sense of what is proper. To find within oneself the deep sense of truth, of inner peace. And from this light, one will know what is proper. Not from anybody else. Anybody else will be just other influence, and is as good as as they are. But to really find certainty within oneself, and that certainty can only appear, can only be dependent on inner peace, not on outer influence, even good influence. And this inner peace does not come from avoiding, as I was mentioning, those people who did not seem to be hurt or touched by what was happening because they were not reading any news or watching TV. Not that, being in touch with truth, in touch with actuality, yet finding within oneself inner peace. Inner peace and inner freedom. And from that space, one will know and one would find really a true peace that can shine outside and hopefully have some impact. So only within oneself. the great Zen teacher, Dogen, says that to study Buddhism is to study oneself. And to study oneself is to forget oneself. So what does it mean to forget oneself or to study oneself? So one may wonder. At the time of Buddha's death, Ananda, the monk who was always staying close to the Buddha, was wondering. He thought that it will be good to ask the Buddha who will be the guide when the Buddha will die, hoping there were so many very bright disciples and monks around the Buddha. So it was time for him, he thought, before the Buddha died, to ask him which monk they should be following. And the Buddha said that there will be no other guide when the Buddha died, that each meditator, each monk or nun, has to find their inner light, and this inner light will be the guide. So he sent all the practitioner to the inner light, and that will be the guide, no outer guide, but only the inner guide. Now, it doesn't mean that we will trust completely the way we think, being completely influenced sometimes by hatred or confusion. This inner light is not a light which is found by thinking, which is not a very sophisticated way of thinking. This inner light comes from a deep knowing of oneself beyond thinking, beyond any concept. When one can understand oneself deeply, beyond any concept, understand the truth of the world in which we are living, beyond any concept, that's the true light. At this time, for any of us, there will be no doubt to understand and to know how to make sense, so to speak, of this chaotic world from this light, not from the light of anybody else. So the practice of meditation is dealing with this way of trying to know oneself deeply. It's an inquiry into our own nature, in what we are really, truly. So how to discover when we want to know something, what is the way that we are using? Most of the time when we want to know the world in which we are living, we are looking, we are hearing, we are tasting, smelling, thinking. That the way that we may know the world in which we are. And then we may organize that in concept and write books about it. If we go to libraries, we see huge amount of books which are written from this discovery of what the world is. But now we are speaking about something else. We are not speaking about more knowledge, more concept, more ideas. We are speaking about the knowledge of the knower. Who knows this world? That's what we are concerned with. Not more understanding about bees or flowers or trees. That may be interesting, but that's not the light we are looking for. So what is the nature of the knower, the one who knows the form, shape, who knows the sound, who hears the sound, or think the thought? What is the nature of the knower? It doesn't seem, it seems that if we will be looking with our eyes, we will not know the knower, or it means that the knower will be some kind of color, and certainly not what we are. So it's not by looking with our eye that we are going to know the knower. If it will be by hearing, it will mean that the knower is a sound. Therefore, by hearing, we could discover who or what is the knower. So not by hearing. If it will be by thinking, it will mean that the knower is a thought, a concept, and is not that. So not by hearing, not by thinking, not by looking, that we can know who really is a knower. The knower of each experience arising within ourselves during our life. Not looking, not hearing, not thinking. So it's a very different type of knowledge that we're experiencing, that we're exploring. A knowledge which requires much more intimacy within ourselves. When we look at a color or shape that may be at some distance, even very far away, and not so intimate with what we are looking. When we are hearing, we can hear sounds also which are produced far away. It's not really intimacy. We want to know the knower in a different way, not as sound, not as sight, and not as concept. Much deeper than that. So that what the meditation is about, to introduce us to a new attitude which will help us to discover this nature, the true nature of ourselves. When we will know the true nature of ourselves deeply, we also will understand the nature of the world in which we are living. When we know really who is a knower, who is a seer, who is the hearer, then we know also the nature of the world. There is a saying of the mystics, taste mystic, those who believe in God, and which also is interesting. They say, the one who knows God through a means knows the means but not God. So we'll say that if we believe that we can get some knowledge about ourselves through a means or a concept, an idea, we'll know the concept, the idea, but we'll not know ourselves. So it's not a knowledge that we'll develop which is based into our personal history. Is not a knowledge that we are looking for, which is a psychological knowledge of ourselves. Something much more subtle, much more deeper, and something that we share all. The nature that I may understand, the deep nature of myself, is not different from the nature of yourself. Our personal history is different, our psychological makeup is different, but our true nature is not different. So that's what we are concerned with. If we, when we are meditating, if we are too much concerned with historical patterns. Well, that has happened to me, I have this tendency, I always feel sleepy or something like that. This is just some historical pattern happening maybe again and again, but that does not tell what we truly are. So we're not being fascinated or concerned by psychological understanding. Even if they may arise in our meditation, I understand those patterns, that's fine, but that's not really what we are exploring in our meditation. So not stopping at any understanding which is based on concept, ideas. Deeper than that, more intimate than that within ourselves. So this exploration of what we are really, or who we are really, cannot be made in past or in future. It's not by reflecting on what has happened to us that we will understand. We can only develop this intimacy in the development of a quality of presence. The knowing of ourselves in our true nature is no different than being. When we know something else, then there may be difference between knowing and being. The true nature of ourselves that we are inquiring into is the same as being. There is no difference. And for that, it requires quality of presence. If we are not present, it means that we are lost in thoughts and concepts and ideas. Then we know thoughts, concepts and ideas. We are not present. We cannot be in touch with ourselves. We cannot know our true nature. So we need in our meditation to organize, if you wish, our practice in a way that we will not constantly slip into the future or into the past, that we will not forget about or not be aware of what's happening right now. We have to be aware of not really going back to the past or anticipating the future, because past and future are only based on images, concept. If we come back, our meditation will be mainly connected with perception, not with thinking, because perception has this quality of being right in the present. Thinking has a fantastic power to drive us out of the instant, to drive us in the past and the future. I would like to make a very small experiment with you. You may just move your hand and feel. You feel your hand moving, feel the weight of your hand. So just be present with the movement. Just feel your hand moving. Don't need to look at your hand, you don't need to think about it, just feel. Feel it. So you feel the movement. You may stop. So can one do that in the past? Is it possible to experience one's hand moving in the past? Or is it possible to experience one's hand moving in the future? So obviously, whenever we are dealing with perception, it's not possible to perceive things in the past or in the future. Perception, here bodily sensation, even hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, can only happen right now in the present. There is no way that any of our perception could happen in the past and future. If it could happen, then we could really jump in time. Future and past will not be stuck, so to speak, with the present. So dealing with perception helps us to be really in the present. In our meditation, we are not dealing with thinking, which may bring us past and future. We are rather staying in the simplicity of the perception. Simplicity of feeling, the way we are seated, the simplicity of just hearing, the simplicity of just seeing. And in that, there is no way that we will go in the past and future. If we explore one's hand moving and we understand that it's not possible to move one's hand in the past or in the future, it's quite obvious, although sometimes due to our confusion, we try to live in time like if time had duration. But in the same way, it's not possible to breathe in the past or in the future. Can we breathe in the past? Can we breathe in the future? So I will take now 10 breaths just now, so for a little while I will not need to breathe anymore, because I have taken 10 already. It's not possible. So coming back just to what is perceived in the instant, that helps us to create and develop a much deeper intimacy within ourselves. And within this intimacy, peace can develop. Within this intimacy, wisdom can develop. A wisdom which will not be depending on thoughts and concepts. A wisdom which will be a clear perception, a clear knowing of who we are really in this instant. We'll come back to that quality of the meditation again and again. Doesn't mean that when thoughts are rising in our mind, we are going to fight them or feel guilty. We'll just know that thoughts are rising. They are not lead me. They are not helpful. They cannot help my meditation. Therefore, I just come back to perceptions, like bodily sensations. For that, we need also a space which is a proper space to help our meditation. And the way for us to create it is already we have a nice hall, very quiet, found a nice place. Again, not to avoid, but just we need to find peace. So we will not be speaking for the time of the retreat, and that is very important. Speaking brings a lot of thoughts, image and concept. And if we were to ever retreat while speaking, we'll discover that speaking is bringing more and more energy. It's like if our mind will be like a bucket full of muddy water, and we try to make the water becoming clear. So if we constantly beat up the bucket, so we'll just stir up, and all the dust and the earth will stay in the water, and the water will be always muddy water. So the only way is to leave it quiet. We can't help it, we can't force it, we can't make it quicker than it goes when the earth or the sand slowly will settle down. There's no way we can help it. But if we don't interfere with it at its proper time, at its proper time, then slowly the water will be clearer. If we were to speak, it would be like we are constantly giving some kick to this bucket. We know that we will maybe be eating and then starting to speak with another person, maybe very interesting. And then we come and sit and say, oh, I should have told this person this and I forgot that. What did she or he meant by that? And we could see that maybe for 10 minutes, half an hour, we'd finish the conversation that we forget to finish. So that's very important, not to speak, to really respect the silence in order to be able to develop this intimacy within ourselves. Speaking, usually we have much training, and we'll find that speaking again at the end of the retreat, there's no worry that anybody will forget how to speak. No doubt about that. So speaking among each other, and it's the same for using cellular phone. You know, you say, oh, I want to know what's happening home, and then you phone, and then come to sit, and then you say, oh, yeah, I wonder what he or what my husband, wife, or children, what did they mean by that? Oh, I forgot to tell them that. And then for half an hour, maybe one day, or sometimes 2 days, you will just go over again and again this phone that you had. It's not that we are smarter and we know. It's just that we had so many experiences where people would come and say, well, yeah, after 3 days I had to call my wife, and you know, for 3 days after that I was thinking, should I call her back or not? So really, please try to avoid it as much as possible. That's very important. Communication, usually we have enough, and if we can protect this space of silence, is very important. If you want to make the most benefit of the retreat, it's very easy. You may make these 7 days 14 by not speaking. You may make those 7 days 3 by speaking, or 2 by speaking. So if you want to make the most use of it, don't speak, then these 7 days will be 14 days. So you'll have 14 days of retreat. So be very aware of that. And it's possible that sometimes one doesn't feel so well, but if you want to speak with another person, then you will disturb the other person. Maybe the other person is fine at this time. So there will be every day some interview. For some of us, with a teacher, will be time for sharing or questioning. If you have some doubts or difficulty, there will be space for that. But don't disturb the other, even if you feel sometimes agitated or in a state of mind which is not very happy. Please respect silence, it's very important. So not only respecting other by silence, but also respecting their belongings. You don't say, oh, this person has a nice shawl, I should try, and next day you come and try the shawl, or you know, the nice, some people have a very nice sophisticated way of sitting. So just respect also all the belonging of other. It's very important. In the Buddhist tradition also, we don't take intoxicant of any kind, because that will bring more confusion to the mind. There may be some spiritual tradition somewhere where people take drugs and explore with that, but it's not the case here. So it's very important, don't take any intoxicant of any kind, not to bring more confusion to the mind. And I don't know if people have special drugs and suddenly they have a special experience. They'll come to Patricia and I, and we don't know anything about it. Then they will be exploring some planets that we don't know. We can't guide if something is going wrong. So just don't take any intoxicant, any drugs, or whatever. Keep it as simple as possible. The mind is rich enough. We don't need to bring more stimulation. Patricia has already given some instruction about the practice of meditation, and they understand that we need to sit quietly and try to be aware of what is happening, trying to be aware of our bodily sensation, or trying to be aware of the way we breathe, our breath. So we may wonder, is it a spiritual practice? Is it really a deep practice just to be aware of our breathing? I've been to some workshop of stress reduction, and we do the same. So why was it not a spiritual practice, and why will that be a spiritual practice if we are just concerned with the awareness of breathing? So one element which really is important is the context in which we are understanding that we are not trying to be aware of the way we breathe or body sensation to be quieter or just to reduce the stress, but we are exploring that in order to awaken, in order to bring more wisdom. And this motivation is very important. That is what will, in a sense, gather all our experience. Sometimes we may be sitting in meditation, there may be thought, there may be sleepiness, yet our motivation, our intention, will bring all that into a spiritual path. That is our motivation, that is our intention. If our intention is stress reduction or being quieter, that brings all our practice, our sleepiness, our difficulties, just into quietness, which is a very narrow way of reducing a spiritual path much vaster, really to deal with awakening and awakening wisdom. So we may, before practicing meditation, just reflect for 1 or 2 minutes on our motivation. And the motivation usually is including all the world, and we may meditate in order to bring peace and wisdom within ourselves and within other. And this opening in our meditation at the beginning also make it vaster. Not only concerned by ourselves, not only concerned for our own peace or wisdom, but having in mind that by the increasing of inner peace, of inner wisdom, we hope that this inner peace, inner wisdom will also help to create a world with more peace and more wisdom. So just at the beginning of every meditation, we may have reflect 1 or 2 minutes in that, making our scope vaster, rather than being just concerned with our small practice, our difficulty in our practice. So that's a very important aspect that we will remind you often at the beginning of our practice. So for a few minutes I would like just we practice silently, and then I will give a few indications about walking meditation. So we'll just sit peacefully. So reflect on the motivation for a few minutes, not long, and then just be aware of the bodily sensation, be aware of the way you are sitting, feeling your position, feeling the heaviness of the body or the lightness, and also feeling the fluctuation which are due to the movement of breathing. Meditation is a very simple attitude. But strangely enough, one can speak a lot about it. It seems that for most of us, we are not so simple. Therefore, we need to speak about meditation, not so much just to explain the simplicity of it, but also to point out or the complex way that sometimes we are interfering with the process.